to be back in the house of God. Yes. Isn't it amazing? So we're going to have quite the services again in the morning. And on, well, who's doing Monday? Herman and Tuesday. So we got a lot of services to do. But this is a great time of year, right? We're in the season of Teshuvah. It's a time to recognize the price that's been paid for our life. Think about that. It's been paid for, and we want to honor that. And so we're gonna we learn how to repent. I mean, you know, some Christian folk quickly forget that we make mistakes. And we don't want to live with those mistakes. We want to be in a habit to repent quickly. And that's what Teshuvah points to. But we're not only repenting. You know, the world religion teaches that you just got to say you're sorry and then grace will cover the rest. Well, that's not what the Bible says. What does it teach? Repent and obey. Repent and obey. We got to quit doing that. Not just say we're sorry. God knows that when we come before him, we're repentive. We don't want to ever do it again. But then he's going to expect something from us to obey. So it's been a great time. So then Koinonia. What a tremendous time. Amen. Amen. Just tremendous. Absolutely incredible. We had a great time and thank God for his word. We appreciate the Lord because he cares for us. I mean, you know, he chastens those who he loves. Amen. And we ought to not flee from the chastening of the Lord. We ought to know if he's chastening us, he's our father. Amen. He's our father and he loves us. So it's a great thing, great thing. So we've been in this series for quite some time. We're going to be in it for a while. It's going to be a long haul, right? Understanding the words of Jesus from the age of 12 till he was ascended and then going into Revelations. How many know that's a lot of stuff? Now, where are we? We're in Matthew chapter 6, right? In Matthew chapter 6, there's two things he tells us, two things. And it's been a while. We took a break from Yom Teruah, the blowing of the trumpet, and then we're going to be in a break, but I wasn't even supposed to speak tonight, right? So, but Pastor Josh called me, and he had to bring one of the pastors to the airport, and it took longer than we expected. And so he says, you got it. So I am shocked. I don't know what to do. Where would I go? Do I have anything? Maybe, just maybe. Anyway, we're starting tonight. And in the morning, part two of the kingdom, thy kingdom come. Because in Matthew 6, the prayer, he said, when you pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Okay, what is that? We're praying for something to come. We might have repeated that prayer many times over our lifetime. But what is it? What are we asking for? Pray, thy kingdom come. Then we read on down Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first, because he's talking about all these things of life. How many know, no matter what church you go to or how many years you've been a Christian, you still got life. And we have lived life independent of each other. And that's not the design of God. Koinonia says, I want you to learn how to live life together. That's what real koinonia, and the master knew we would need that. How many can honestly say it just feels good when you gather together and you have a meal together? It's just something about that that feels good. And he knew, he said, that's my design. So he designed corporate worship. They met in the set apart place. When he says in the scripture, the holy place, that's the set apart place. They met in the set apart place. That's corporate worship. Then they met when they broke bread. He was talking about house to house. These are the layout of how the Lord laid it out. And so this has to be important to us. So when you get an opportunity, no matter how tired we are, You get an opportunity, you just want to join in there because you might not get everything, but you need to get what you came for. And God has that for you tonight. Isn't that amazing? So Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, then all the things that you read about ahead of that shall be added. How amazing is that? So we're answering and asking these questions. What is the kingdom? Why is the kingdom? So we're going to go a little bit further. So now it's part two. There's three parts. Part two of the kingdom's portion of understanding everything that Jesus ever said. One verse at a time. Taking us through that because it's important that we listen to our master. Very important that we have to drop off tradition. How many of you know that what the master says trumps tradition? It's what it does. It just, and I know we can get used to it. We, as a matter of fact, we can like it. And it could be praiseworthy. It could be. It's not like all traditions are just crazy things. It could be praiseworthy. It could be in and around the church, and it could have Christ's name all over it. Doesn't mean it's right. So we can participate in a lot of things, and they're not right. But he wants us to correct those things. And so let's just go, we're going to go a little ways tonight, because everybody's tired. And in the morning, you'll be slept, you sleep real good, get up, eat a little power bar or something, and come, because we're going to go tomorrow. Okay? So how's that? I'm only going to go an hour and a half tonight in the morning. No, I'm just joking. Okay. The kingdom of Yahweh, part two. Let's go through this. We'll just kind of set a spot. In part one, we looked at what the kingdom of Yahweh is. That was in part one. If you didn't get any of that, there's tapes back there. It's online. Just go online. You can listen to it. And why is it coming? So we looked at what the kingdom of Yahweh is and why is it coming using Kaplan's honest serving men. Remember that little system we used before in some of the teachings. In this study, we will continue and examine what the Bible teaches about when this will take place, because that's important to know. Yes. When and how it will be brought about. And I was going over this and I noticed something about the season we're in and what is said in the second part. It's pretty incredible. When is the awaited kingdom of Yahweh to be ushered in? That's the question. We're going to attempt to answer this question tonight. Maybe not all of it, but we'll finish it in the morning. But when is the awaited kingdom of Yahweh to be ushered in? Well, we have some scripture that tells us about it. Things that we could read, understand, comprehend those things. And if it happened, we'd see that sign. And then we would know. People say, well, why should we know this? Because the anti-Messiah is going to come with great power, signs and wonders, and many people, two-thirds will follow that. Not unbelievers now, because you can't lose what you never had. So we're talking about churched people all over the world. Two-thirds is going to go after the anti-Messiah because he's going to take his seat in the set-apart place. And he's going to call himself Elohim at the end. It's called the abomination of desolation. So we've been given this roadmap, as it were, of Scripture to identify that. Did Yeshua say in his return to set up the kingdom would be heralded with a loud trumpet blast? Now listen, I take my, whatever the Lord says, is okay, do this, whatever it is, I'm putting all these things together. And then, of course, the Feast of Trumpet comes along. And We're celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. And so I'm going through this series, and I don't know when I'm going to stop or start, because in the service is active, and I come to a spot and I realize we're out of tape and time. So I stop. So I start again the next service. Well, isn't it amazing that I stopped and we start again and we're right here. Did Yeshua say his return was set up to set up the kingdom would herald with a loud trumpet blast? Well, I hope everybody knows that, because we just got finished celebrating Yom Teruah. What does it mean? What's Teruah? We give a shout. It's an alarm. It's the sound of the trumpet warning everybody. He's here. He's here. It's like, I was thinking about this today. It's like a father who's prepping for his daughter. Maybe he has an only daughter, his only daughter, her wedding. And he's getting things ready, and it's a lot. You know, he's like, this is my daughter, and she's finally getting married. So he wouldn't wait till the day of the wedding and say, hey, let's have a cake, or let's get some decorations. He wouldn't do that. He plans it. And his wife, they get together and they plan it and they spend money, lots of money. And they're excited about it, and they're inviting people. And people's excited. They're saying, come, this is my daughter's wedding. And we're so excited. We just want you to come and celebrate with us. And right before the time of this wedding happens, they're going to send out the invites, and they're going to put on the invites the time and the place. Because they would hate to spend all the time and all the money and nobody know how to get there or when it is. You think God has been prepping for this thing all this time, and he's not going to let us know about the time and the place? He's letting us know. He said, first of all, I'm going to blow a trumpet. The trumpet blast. Ta-da, ta-da, ta-da. What does that mean? Get ready. So what do you do when you're getting ready for the wedding? Well, you go in your drawer, you know, where your good clothes is hung up in the closet on the hanger. But your work clothes is in just a drawer, and you get there and you start, you know, I'm going to put my fishing shirt on and put some shorts on and some, my boots got blood stains. I'm not going to the wedding like that. Right? Why would I go to the wedding like that? I'm unprepared for the wedding. I'm unprepared for what's been in the works for a long time. You know what the father does? He gets dressed. He gets him a tuxedo maybe, the nicest suit he's got. And I mean, he's doing his hair while his daughter's getting ready. Because he's going to be there with her. Get ready. Get ready. So why do we go through this? Because we're saying, throughout the years, this year we're going through it, next year we'll be going through it, we'll be doing this the whole time. Because we want to be in practice for the real event. For when it really happens. Brother Herman brought to our attention that it's the time that you're looking up. And he puts the sign, he says, when you look up and the moon is dark. Nobody, when is it going to come back? And all of a sudden, that little sliver, there it is. Dun, dun, dun. Isn't that exciting? It should be exciting to us. Because this is what he said, what happened. Well, let's look at it. Matthew 24, words of Jesus again. He says in verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Messiah, or there, believe it not. Notice what he says, believe it not. For there shall arise false messiahs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Wow. So, you got to take that into consideration. The very elect, if it were possible, would be deceived, because they're going to show great signs and wonders. So that's important to understand. Behold, I have told you before. Listen to Yeshua. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you. How many of you know you got to be careful what they say? A lot of folks are listening to what they say and not what he says. So I'm the speaker here. The way you can tell what I'm saying to be different from what they say is, what am I repeating? Am I repeating the words of our Messiah? If not, do not listen to me, because I'm no different than they. Remember that. No speaker should ever not desire or want very strongly for the hearer to check out everything he says. I mean, understand that. The Bereans did that to Paul. They searched the scriptures daily to see what Paul was saying was true. Where did they search? Did they have the Brit Hadishah, the what we call the New Testament? Did they have that? No, it wasn't in existence. It wasn't written. They didn't have it. So what scripture is they talking about? They're talking about from Genesis all the way through to the prophets and the writings. They search those things because Paul saying some strong things. We're going to find out if what he's saying is a fact, and all they had to do was search the scripture. How do you check anything out? Search the scripture. Very important. Behold, I've told you before, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. So is it going to be some distant place, isolation, and somebody secretly finds him and then they own it and then they say, come follow us, we found the master? It's not going to be that way. It's not going to be in some secret chamber that they unearth and all of a sudden we have the master. He said, don't believe that. For as the lightning cometh out of the east. Now, how many have ever seen a lightning show at night? I've seen some incredible shows, because when you're on a boat trawling at night and you have weather coming, it will just be lightning flashing across the sky, and it's something to see. It's absolutely amazing. He said, as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So it's going to be noticed, it's going to be known, and we'll know it. For wheresoever the carcass is, there the eagle will be. The eagles will gather together. And again, that's the vultures he's talking about. Immediately after, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. Not before, but after of those days. The moon shall not give her light. There's a reason the moon doesn't give her light, because it's going to go dark. But it gives its light again when he returns. Yom Teruah. And the stars shall fall from heaven. Now that's a scary thought. Stars falling from heaven. They fall from heaven. Where do they fall and where do they go? Do they just shoot off like that direction, or do they actually come here? What does the text lead us to believe? That they come here. Well, that's impossible, right? So scientists say that the stars, some of the stars are 100 times larger than the earth. So we don't need stars to fall. We just need one big one. Boom, we're gone. So maybe we have an issue there. Check that out for yourself. Stars fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Think about that. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. That's the son of Adam. The Son of Man. In heaven, then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Wow. How many are getting this picture now? We got some things we can look for that Messiah and him only can do. But one's going to come ahead of him, and you got to know that it's not him. You got to know. Seasoned believers, you have to know that it's not him. So do we need to read this stuff? You better believe it. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. He shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. So what we find here is this Yom Teruah that we've been talking about. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Did Paul also describe this event? Let's look at what Paul said about this event. In 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, he goes on to talk about this. And in verse 2, it picks up, grace unto you and peace from Yahweh our Father and the Master Yeshua Messiah. We are bound to thank Elohim always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Does faith need to grow? Well, of course it does. Yesterday's faith may not get you through today. So it's growing exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Does anybody want to take a stab at what he's reflecting on? It starts with a K. I just love how God does things. Let me read it again. We are bound to thank Elohim, God, always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly. I don't know about you, but my faith this week has grown, and it's exceedingly growing. And charity, the koinonia of every one of you all toward each other, aboundeth. Remember what koinonia produces? Love. Unity. Everybody's on board. Do we have everybody with us? Yes. Is everybody okay with it? Yes. You know what eliminates? Committees. You don't need a committee for everything, because you'll spend more time in committee meetings than doing anything. But when you get your love abounding, and the pastor comes out and says, you know what, we're going to do this. And they go, whatever you decide, we're with you. Let's go. They've been listening to him every week. They know he's preaching from the word of God. He's not misleading them. And if it ever happened, they all got to do is say, you're missing this right here in this verse. But until you miss it, we're all in. I mean, understand, and he's speaking. This is how the church grew so rapidly back then. It grew so rapidly amidst all this difficulty that they were going through. Now, I know we read Paul's writings, and we see him come on the scene much, much later in Acts, and then Romans comes aboard. But he didn't write Romans first. He wrote Thessalonians first. Why is it where it's at? It doesn't matter. It's our job to dig that out and find out. Look at the things he's talking about to Thessalonica. He wanted them to understand. He talks about the coming of the Lord. He talks about he's going to come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. First thing out the gate, Paul talks about that. But by the time you get to that, you're so confused because you misunderstand him, because you paid no attention to Peter. These are just little things. I call these things the things that bug me. And I'm trying to figure out, why did that happen? Because the enemy's against you. They don't want you to find out the truth. But people who are in Koinonia love truth. How many in the church love truth? Everybody. How many are going to be blessed by God? Everybody. And that's what happens when truth is revealed. But notice what he says. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. That's incredible. So that we ourselves glory in you, the assembly of Yahweh, for your patience, faith in all your persecution and tribulations that ye endure. They're going through some things, but they're making it. They're enduring. What's keeping them? Koinonia. If you don't have that happen in any church, it don't take much to erupt and the whole thing goes into confusion. But where there's koinonia, you work through the problems. You don't point fingers and make accusations. A person who points fingers and makes accusations, they don't know nothing about koinonia. They have no concept of it. Why do we need to know that? Because these are the things that prepare us for the kingdom of God. They're preparing us for a kingdom to live in a place that he's prepared for us, which is a manifest token, verse 5, of the righteous judgment of Elohim, that ye may be counted worthy of what? The kingdom of Elohim, the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffered. What you're going through, we're getting ready. The date's already been picked, and we're getting ready, and we're buying all this stuff, and you're preparing yourself to get ready for that day. What a day it's going to be. It's going to be incredible. Seeing it is a righteous thing with Elohim to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. I mean, you know that not everybody's for you. There's some folks that are going to trouble you. Anytime you start talking about the kingdom, anytime you start talking about keeping the Yahweh's feast, because they're his, and we're being commanded to do that to all generations perpetually. That's a command by God. But let me tell you what's the problem. The problem is the moment you do that, the first thing comes up, especially when you're talking about grace of God. Grace of God is incredible, and it's without it, no one is saved. No one. But the moment you leave from just speaking grace and you talk about anything in the Old Testament, they say that's works. Yet James, he cleared it up for everybody. He says, you talk about faith and works, but I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you how to have faith and believe God for what God said is mine by my work. What I do means to obey. And that's the difference. So listen, I love preaching on grace, the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. You can't get around that. But I also love living for the Lord. Amen. I love obeying his word. I don't want to be lawless. I don't want to be without rules. How many believe that being a Christian means to be without rules? Remember the anchor statements that Paul leaves? He leaves these anchor statements. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? What does that mean? Shall we continue to live lawless without Torah, without the word, that grace can just come in and just take care of everything? All we got to do is say, oh, I messed up. Sorry, Lord. Go and do it again the next day. Oh, sorry, Lord. You got me covered. Good thing for grace. The next day, do it again. Thank you, Lord. Sorry. When are you going to quit? You got to read the word. And he said, don't do that. Oh, don't do that. Don't do it. So if you don't do it, then you don't have to ask for repentance again. Because you're showing him, I'm so glad you got me out the ditch the first time. I'm not going to on purpose run it in the ditch. Why would I do that? I'm going to learn how to keep it in the road, Lord. I'm going to make sure that I'm not distracted by stuff around me. And that's showing God that we're participating in living for him the life of faith. Faith is believing something, but we have to remember that when we keep his word, that's something we have to do. We have to keep that word, and he empowers us by the set apart spirit to do that, because we can't do it without that. And remember, the Holy Spirit, that holy word, that word means set apart, is empowering us to do that. That's the thing that's incredible about the Lord. Seeing it is a righteous thing with Elohim to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who trouble rest with us when the Master Yeshua shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not Yahweh, and that obey not the good news of our master Yeshua Messiah. Now, we got, so if we know you're going to get in trouble for not obeying the good news, we might want to know what the good news is. Right? Because some people say, well, the good news is that he came, he died, and he resurrected, and now he's at the right hand of the Father. That's the good news. Well, if we take our master's words, that's not what he said was the good news. He said the good news is that you were bound for death, but our Father made a way so you don't have to die. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to step in your spot. I'm going to take your sins. I'm going to bear your iniquities. I'm going to do all of that for you. But the good news is there's a kingdom of God coming, and all evil, everything's going to be wiped out, and God will make what he declared his kingdom live and rule and reign in every human that accepts the good news. You got to tell people there's a reward. You know, if somebody's in a competition with no reward, they may not put everything in it. When they do whatever they do, sports, they have a competition. They might have a trophy. They might have a money purse. It's a big difference if you're fighting and you're losing and you get hit a couple times, it may be a fight, there's a purse. You go, okay, I'm giving up. We're not even getting paid. So I got one black eye, I'm going to save one eye so I can see to get home. But if there's a purse and you're trying to get to the purse, you might take two black eyes and heal later when you're counting it. Right? Because there's a reward, you don't mind fighting. But we don't tell people about the reward. Listen, the reward is the kingdom of God. We're talking about a kingdom where there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. Do you understand that? Where the lion lays with the lamb. All the corruption's gone. No more politicians. Isn't that amazing? What a day that will be. This is going to be an amazing place. And we desire that. Remember what we're to pray? Thy kingdom come. But it's amazing. We say that prayer, we don't have a clue what it is. We want to pray, thy kingdom come. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These things, what we talked about at the beginning, those essential things of life, shall be added unto you. So there's things that are primary, and there are things that are secondary. The primary things, he wants to make sure we do them first. First. Amen? Who shall be punished with the everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master, from the glory of his power? He's talking about those that are not listening. They're just against you, at odds with you. Listen, if you're not being persecuted, we're probably not doing something right. If you haven't been called a cult lately, right? I've been called stuff since I stepped in the pulpit. I mean, that's just the way it's been. But one thing is, there's things I didn't know, and there's things that I learned along the way. But when I find it out, I'm not going to be ashamed to say it. This is what he says. And we're going to live by that. And I challenge anybody, anytime, always, please, if it's wrong, correct me. But if we're looking at the right thing, we're looking at it together. Listen, looking at Scripture don't have to be a fight. You know, that's what the point is. We can have koinonia with the Word of God. Because if this can't settle all issues, then I'm thinking that we're just walking around with a chip on our shoulder and we're just waiting for somebody to knock it off. We've been wanting to get in a fight regardless. And that's what happens. You see that. But that's not what we want to know about the kingdom of God. And we want to say, Lord, if we got to change, then we're going to change. We're going to make a difference. Why? Because it's the good news. Remember? What did Jesus say? He said, I come to testify to the truth. What did Pilate say? What is truth? He said, primarily. He said, please stay. Please stay. Don't leave, Master. The miracles will happen. People's the lame will be in here. Please don't leave. He said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. That's what his message was. The message of Messiah. What did he preach? The kingdom of God. Verse 10, and when he comes to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. The testimony, remember, what's the testimony? Things you do. That's a testimony. It's what, when the seed had been put in, and we've been given the seed of koinonia, if I had the seed of koinonia planted in me, which we've been planting for a long time, what's going to happen? You should bear fruits of that seed. You bear fruits of that seed. So the same thing here, that and if you bear fruit, people know that, so you can tell somebody about that's the testimony. It's what you produce because you obeyed. You kept the word. Very important. Verse 11, wherefore also we pray always for you that our Elohim, our God, would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith with power. How many know that first we talked about faith increasing earlier and then the working of faith? So sometimes when folks are going along, they may have a little mess up here and there. It's not a sit down time. It's a pray for them time. It's to cry out to the Lord time, because they might be going through an increase. And so to increase their faith, the challenge has to be greater. Sometimes before you make a statement, try to figure out that you don't know the fight they've been in that week. So what do you do? Pray. We're koinonia. We're praying for one another. We're encouraging one another. Wherefore also pray always. We pray always for you that our Elohim would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all good pleasure of his goodness and work of faith with power, that the name of our Master Yeshua Messiah might be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our El, the grace of God, and the Master Yeshua Messiah. So the only reason this is even possible, because God graced me. He did He's the favor. You can use the word favor there. The favor of God's on my life. He didn't have to do it. Did I do anything for favor? You didn't do anything. And if we did something, we can't count it that it was worthy of the favor. The favor is God's love, the great love he had toward humanity, even when we were sinners. He had great favor towards us. We don't want to let that favor be a waste. We want to honor God. When I think about how good he's been to me, we ought to honor that. Remember, the name of our Master Yeshua may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of El, the grace of God, and the Master Yeshua Messiah. The kingdom of Yahweh was very real to the apostles and followers of Messiah, and they keenly expected its arrival. How many expect its arrival? But what were they told regarding time scales for this? Do we have time scales for this? Man, you can go so many places with that. Let's start right here in Acts. Because I was going over this today and I was like, man, God. Because I made reference to this, right? I didn't read it. So I could have used this. I could have used the slides that was already prepared. I could have put another one together. But the Lord told me not to do that when I spoke on the Thursday night. He said, you're going to say what I tell you to say, nothing else. It won't be your notes. It won't be out your head. It's going to be what I tell you. Do you trust me? Okay, Lord, here we go. You say whatever needs to be said. Well, I made a reference to this passage right here. Acts 1, verse 6. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Master, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? When we were praying, thy kingdom come, seek first the kingdom. We're dealing with Matthew 6 in those statements on the words of Jesus. Verse 7, he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. Verse 8, but you shall receive power. That word power is dunamis. It's explosive. Power after Holy Spirit. Set apart Spirit. Remember, holy is set apart. Spirit is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. I mean, you know, that's a great calling right there. And that's a task that we haven't fulfilled yet. But we're working on it. You work on that. You know, Jerusalem was like your own hometown. And then you got the next one is Judea. That's the neighboring town. That might be the outskirts. So we're here in Beerus. That would be Jerusalem. And then we're talking about the city, maybe in New Orleans. And then he says Samaria. Samaria might be a couple states over in the rest of the country. Then he says the uttermost parts of the earth. So it's an incredible call, and he's not leaving anybody out. In verse 9, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, I stop here for this particular lesson, but it goes on, and two men standing there say, hey, why are you guys standing out looking? The same way you seen him go, he's coming back just like that in the cloud. So he let them know. So what they were getting together, because he told them, go to Jerusalem, you're going to be endued with power from on high. And he speaks that to them. Mark 13, verse 1 through 37, that's a lot of verses for me to cover tonight. So we're not even going to attempt it. We're going to start right here in the morning. We're going to continue going, because when I get to Hebrews, you're going to want to hear that. Because he talks about in Hebrews about these people who waited patiently. Talked about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Gideon and all these people. And he said they all died. All these. He said all these died not receiving the promise. What was the promise? The kingdom's coming. They died, remember, not receiving the promise. How many think they ought to get it? These are great men of God, men of faith. Hey, listen, if you make it in Hebrews chapter 11, you've done something. The Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame of faith. If you make it in there, there's something spectacular that God counted you worthy to list you. And you know what he says? All these died not receiving the promise. The question I ask, do we think they should get it? I think all the Hall of Famers, the early fathers of faith that paved the way to make it a lot easier for us to come into this wonderful grace, this favor that God's bestowed upon us, receive the set-apart spirit, walk in koinonia, and live for the Lord with everything that's in us. You know what the Shema says? Hear, O Israel. Hear and listen, listen, listen. Listen, Israel. And that's something that's important for us. Hear, O Israel. Yahweh, our Elohim, is one Yahweh. Not two, three, four, five, however you want to count them. He's one. The word one is ahad. You know what it means? One. That's what it means. So you don't want us to get confused. Listen, I meet folks, all my life I've met folks, they have a difficult time serving one God. I don't want to confuse it more for them and tell them they got multiple gods, like polytheism. And that's just the world teaches. How many understand that? I better leave that alone. So, how many see how this can be fun? The word of God is so fun. It's so wonderful. And you know, there's times in my life it's not fun. You know when that is? When I've transgressed. I open it up and I go, oh my. What does immediately happen? What does spirit do? What does set apart spirit do? Immediately, you want to go before your high priest. That's what you want to do. Immediately, you want to go because we have a high priest and he's forever. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding for us. You go to your high priest and say, Yeshua, I messed up. And he goes on behalf of us to the Father and say, you know, they messed up. But my grace is sufficient for them. It's sufficient. So there's two types of grace that most people never realize. You have grace when you're alive, when you're born, and you have grace when you die. The two types of grace, they basically do the same thing. One, you have no power to control it. It's just a give to you because you obeyed. One comes and you didn't do anything. You didn't obey. You did do something. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know what he did? In spite of that, graced us, gave us favor, and he gave us a way out. But the other one, that other grace after death, the one that resurrects the dead, when did they resurrect? And Thessalonians says, and then the trumpet's going to sound. The dead will raise. Remember what he said before that? Brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who are asleep. I don't want you to be concerned. He said, we don't fret like those who have no hope. But we're not talking about, if you're not preaching the kingdom, you're not preaching about hope. You got to be preaching about the kingdom of God because that gives hope to people. That, because if that, all we have is we get up, we eat, we drink, we marry, and then we die, what is there to live for? That's the end. But this is just rehearsing. We're preparing. We're getting dressed. Think about your life right now. You're getting ready for the wedding. And you got all this time you're preparing. You're getting ready. So Yom Teruah sounds the alarm and ba 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 ba. He's here. He's arrived. So you got some time. The 10 days of awe. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I just want to make sure that I put it. Is everything right? Am I dressed the way you want me to? I give my life to you. And I'm recognizing the atonement. My high priest, he's forever making intercession for me. And then the alarm sounds again. And he gathers his people. And he brings us to the wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Think about that. And we get under the hoopah, and we're all in a coronation of the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Zechariah says, Yahweh will come, and his feet will touch the Mount of Olives. And I had trouble with that. And then I realized that we're talking about the agent. Who can represent God, the Father, better than Yeshua? He's the principal agent. He's the one that represents the Father. And he says, you go. Go and get my people ready because I'm going to come, but I can't come just yet. Because when he comes, it'll be all the glory that was from the beginning. So he's going to come in great glory, but it's not God's glory. The Mount of Olives will split and it'll create a pathway. And there he enters in to Jerusalem. King of kings and Lord of lords. And all the nations will come on Sukkot and will come and worship. We'll bow, we'll worship, we'll sing, we'll celebrate, we'll be eating and having koinonia. And then the great day, the eighth day, the one that was subject to God, Yeshua, he takes the kingdom and he turns it over to the Father, the one who gave it to him. Read in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. He gives it to him. And then we have a celebration, unlike anything we can try to mimic it as best we can, but we never come close to when this right here is my favorite saying in all of Scripture, God himself steps in. God himself. What a day that'll be when God himself, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down and God himself. There'll be no need for the S-U-N because God will give the light. Think about that. It's going to be a wonderful time. So we're excited. This is a time for us to reflect on that. This time of the year to reflect on those wonderful events. Listen, I always say this. How many times should we preach the kingdom of God on Sunday service? About three times. We should be preaching on the kingdom of God because folks need to know. They're missing this. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful. How many know you're going to get discouraged? Just what happens? But when you think about the goodness of God and his kingdom, you don't stay discouraged. You get over it quick because how good he is. But if you have no hope, you'll live like you have no hope. And let me tell you, when the moment you feel hopeless, the next thing comes is depression. And folks are getting a deep depression. And then we spend most of our time in bringing them to different classes, trying to get them out of depression. Talking about church folks. How do you, because church folk get in depression. How is that possible? Because they have no hope. We think the bill's got to be paid and every marriage has got to be squared away and the kids have got to be going to college and everything's just got to be smooth. Let me tell you, life is just not like that. No. All the tires stay inflated. You just, everlasting tires, just go buy them at Sam's. You get four of them for $1,000. Everlasting. Never get a flat. I don't want no hardship. I don't want nothing to break in the house. I want to keep my job. I want to get double pay and overtime. It doesn't happen like that. Guess what? Stuff happens. You go to work one day and the boss says, hey, we had to cut back. And you're going. Well, guess what? If all your hope was in your job, if all your hope was in what's going on around you, you feel hopeless. We got to preach hope that's not just in the circumstances of life. We're talking about a God who prepared for us. He's been preparing. He sent his only son to die for humanity to give us access to the hope. And all along the way to help us to get to this hope. We ought to be preaching it with everything that's in us. Thy kingdom come. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. That's the hope. So I'm excited for everyone being here. We've been having some just wonderful time. Excited about for in the morning. It's going to be a great time. Amen. So God is good. Amen. Let's stand.